Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here. Lord, be with me, guide me, and lead me. Lord, put your words in my mouth, and all the glory and honor to you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. After the Resurrection Sunday, before Pentecost Sunday, we used to just explore about our talents, our gifts God has given to us. You know, then after that we used to, in my childhood, we used to do like that. After the Resurrection Sunday to the Pentecostal Sunday, like, you know, bodybuilders. We are the body of Christ. And what are our talents and gifts which has given by God to us? And how can we use those gifts to build the body? To build the body of Christ, so that, you know, when Nikki asked me to share this, I was praying God, and God led me through with this passage, what Jane read earlier. This is very interesting, and I know, since our childhood, we used to listen to these parables for many of the times. But the beautiful thing with the parables are, they are the earthly stories, but with heavenly meaning. Whenever we listen to them, we'll be having something to grab out of it. So, you know, from this, this is all about obedience. When we listen to God or listen to other people, we think we listen to that, but to be obedient for what we are listening to is, you know, we need lots of guts and love. We think we are listening, but when it comes to be put into actions, we won't do. Because we think, you know, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to God, you know, it matters. Whatever, you know, God bringing into our mind is, or bringing into our criteria means, you know, we need to do so many. Now, we have to be obedient. To fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. So, when we are obedient, it is a great blessing to us, and we bring glory to His name. When we come to this story, here, you know, here it is talking about the talents. Here, you know, whenever the talents means, you know, talents, whether it is an opportunity or whatever it is, the talents, when we grab these, it will be a blessing. When we lose, it means, you know, it's worthless. Here, when we see, the main thing is, one man is there, and the master was going on a journey, and he called his servants, he entrusted his wealth to them. Here, a man going on journey, he entrusted his wealth, the whole wealth, the whole property, he entrusted to his servants, and then he entrusted to them according to their ability. These three are the main things we have to keep in our mind. Here, first servant, he entrusted them and he didn't leave them. He came back, he returned to settle with them. See, we can think something about this. While Jesus ascending to the heaven, he entrusted something to us. From Mark chapter, when we see that, go and preach the nations. He entrusted his kingdom into our hands, and we are accountable to him. He will return, definitely. As here, when we see this master, he returned and settled the accounts with them. In the same way, God will return and settle the accounts according to, no, he is not like, you know, he won't settle the accounts which he didn't give to us. What he gave us something according to our ability. Here when we see the first servant, he gave 5 talents. And what the first servant did? He did something with those 5 talents. And he gained 5 more talents. That means he took some risk. 100% risk means he got 100% gain. And he got a reward. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Along with that, he got a bonus, which is, you know, here when we read here, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Well, you know, we see when we read this, well done. And again with the second servant, he gave 2 talents. Same, he also has done something with that. And he also took 100% risk. He also gained 100%. You know, he also got the same. No, because he got only 2 talents, because, you know, he has very less ability. Let me say less things about him. His master didn't think about him like that. He gave him the same rewards. Well done, good, faithful servant. And same kind of bonus he also got, come and share even master's happiness. And when it comes to the third servant, he gave 1 talent. When we read about all these things, clearly one thing, the master gave them the talents according to their ability. So that when master giving all the servants, he knows that first servant could do something with those 5 talents. The second servant, the master thinks about the second servant, he could do something with those 2 talents. And when it comes to the third servant, the master thought he could do something at least with that one talent. But this servant, what he didn't take any risk. He doesn't want to do anything with that. He didn't take any risk, loss, and after that, instead of getting rewards, he got, you know, lazy servant, wicked person. He called as, you know, a wicked person. So, and he threw him into the darkness. Then why he did like that? This third servant misunderstood of 3 things. Like many of us, you know, we can relate with this third servant in many of the areas of our life. Here, first thing is, he misunderstood of his master. When he was with the servants, he would have, you know, treat all the people in the same manner, right? Then the remaining 2 servants understood the master very well. But when it comes to this person, he misunderstood of his master. You know, he was telling that when the master was asking about him, he was telling that you are very hard man, and you are harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. When it comes, you know, when he's settling the accounts, he would tell that, you know, I couldn't do anything, or, you know, because you gave them lots of talents than me, that's why I was so jealous, or, you know, that's why I wasn't satisfied with that, I'm not, you know, happy with that, that's why I did like that. If we would say that, you know, maybe master would have taken to that account, he would have excused him, but he didn't say that. On top of it, he was telling all nonsense things against the master. So here he doesn't know his master. Many of the times we think that we know God. But the thing is, most of the times we are knowing about God. There is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Knowing about God means we are gathering the information. Knowing about God is a fascinating thing, but the knowing God is life-changing. We have to know that here, this servant, he doesn't know his master. And he misunderstood of his master. That's why, you know, master thinks he gave the talents according to their ability. He thought that this servant would do something at least with that 1 talent. If he has done something with that one talent, he will get the same rewards as the remaining others too. Isn't it? He will get the same bonus, same rewards, same kind of, you know, happiness he would be participating. But this servant, he totally misunderstood of his master. He was thinking that he is there with his master, he knows his heart. But the thing, he didn't, you know, even know what his master's mind or what his master's heart was. So to know about who is our master, our God is our master. He entrusted his kingdom into our hands. So knowing about God, you know, I know so many of the things about our prime minister, but I don't have any personal relationship or personal idea about our prime minister. It doesn't make any sense to me, right? If through the people or through the other people or, you know, through our friends, we might know so many things about God. It encourages us. But when we have that personal intimacy and relationship with God, then only we will be knowing the heart of God. Then only our eyes will be opened and we will see who God is. We have to know that who God is. Knowing about God is good, but we have to have that personal and intimate relationship with God. How it comes? When we read the Bible, when we spend some personal time with God, then only we will be having. See, like the other servants, he also was thinking that I know my master. But in real sense, he doesn't know anything about his master. He doesn't know about the master's heart. In the next one, he was, you know, he misunderstood himself. Master, you know, here when he was read, when we read this, he entrusted the talents according to their ability. He misunderstood about himself, the third servant. Many of the times we think, those people, we get so much of encouragement, you know, when we see other people while they're singing or while they're having lots of talents or while they're being used in the service of God, we think, oh, let me do this. We get inspired. No, so many times we try to follow our feelings. It's not at all wrong to follow our feelings, but we have to know the purpose, why we were created. See, if the mic is using, you know, as a mouthpiece, this is giving the sound. It cannot do what the table is doing. But it doesn't mean they two are, you know, one is much better than the other thing. Both are same. In the same way, we are the bodybuilders. In the church, in the service of God, in the community, or in the world, in the country, anywhere, we all are equal in the eyes of God. We have to see, we have to give value ourselves how God sees us. You know, in this society, the society gives us so many tags. We tend to take our value out of their feelings, out of how the people sees us. We tend to see ourselves like that. You know, people gives us so many tags, like, you know, mother, teacher, or preacher, or good singer, a beautiful girl, or so many tags, so many things the world gives us. We, most of the times, we keep our values in those tags. We tend to forget what God sees us. That's why we have to see through the lens of God. Then only we will know true value of us. You know, why we were created. While God is creating, God created us, we created like unique. We know no one is like, you know, we shouldn't compare with us. Because of the comparison, we make all this mess. We only make all this mess, you know. That's why here the third servant, the master thinks he can do something with the talent, but this guy, he doesn't know about his talent. He doesn't know about his ability. If he could know obedient to his master, he would have done something, he would have, you know, gained his life. But unfortunately, he doesn't know about his. So many times in the society, that's why, you know, how God sees us. Whatever the people calls us, they might see us as a losers, they might see us as a weakness people, whatever it is, let them be. But God sees us as a child of God. That's what more, we are more precious in his eyes. That's how we need to see. You know, many of the times, you know, we tend to follow how the people says to us. That's why sometimes it is better to close all the doors and even our eyes and ears and just go into the presence of God. We will know the true value of, you know, who we are. Then the third thing, most important, he misunderstood of his talent. In those days, according to those days, one talent is equal to 20 years of an average daily laborer. That means here, the talent is not a natural ability here he is speaking about. It is more about our availability. God doesn't need our talents or our knowledge or anything. He is looking for the availability. We think that, you know, with my talent, I'm going to do something like that. No, God doesn't want all those things. He needs our availability. Here, he misunderstood of his talent. And also, he gave according to their ability, he misunderstood that. Even the master was telling, even if you invest somewhere in the bank, you would get some interest. But you didn't do. Instead of doing all these things, you dug a hole and kept it like that. But you didn't understand about anything. In the life, you know, I always say that, you know, life, time, and the opportunity. These are three are most precious things in our life. Once the people lose their life, they cannot get it back. Even the time. You know, in the day, God is blessing us with 86,400 seconds. If we have 86,400 pounds in our hands, if someone came and, you know, steal 600 pounds, do we throw the remaining 85,600 pounds? No. Then, if anyone says something, if we lose 10 minutes of our life, then why we are wasting the other 85,600 seconds of our life? That's how God is depositing every day 86,400 seconds in our life. Such a great and precious time he is entrusting with us. So we have to, you know, we have to be careful. The life, the time, and also the opportunity. We think, oh, let this opportunity go. This is very small one. I don't care about this. God will give me the other opportunity. But who knows? Yesterday is a history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is in our hands. It is the opportunity. We have to grab every opportunity and we have to make use of every opportunity to be useful in his kingdom. But here the servant, he missed that opportunity. One man, you know, he was very troubled in his heart and he was sitting next to the river and he was, you know, unknowingly he was grabbing some pebbles into his hand, he was throwing into the river. After a while, he saw, you know, just two or three stones remained over there. He took into his hand, before throwing, he saw into his hands. And when he saw, the stone was, you know, it glittering like, it is not a normal stone, he could guess that. And he took that stone to the diamond seller, and he said, it is such a valuable stone. But this man started crying, because in his pain and without knowing, he threw so many of the stones with the same value. In the same kind of, you know, with same kind of mentality, we think in anxiety, you know, we don't know how many valuable opportunities we are losing. We think, I am not capable. I cannot do this. Or we think so many things. I can say, once I was like that. You don't know anything about me, right? You know, if God permits me, God's will, I will share my testimony. I was like that one, you know. Very timid girl. And I was born in a Christian family. But all my relatives, the other cousins, everyone, they are from Hindu background. I can say I was born in Christian family, but brought up between the Hindu families. But I don't know why, since my childhood, I love God like anything. I don't know why. It's a blessing. Around when I was 7 or 8 years old, I saw a dream. In my pink frock, I was carrying a cross, and turning around a big tree. At that moment for me, at that age, oh, such a great blessing, I'm carrying Jesus. That's what I have the knowledge. And I was pondering with that dream for years. I don't know anything about that. And after that, you know, many of the time, God, I used to listen to God's voice, but I never share with anyone. I used to, you know, feel so happy God is speaking to me like that. In the year of 2006, I surrendered my life to God. And 2007, December 31st, we used to have all-night prayers. While praying, I know, more than 200 people were gathering in the congregation. All are praying. But one voice clearly speaking to me, I'm going to use you mightily. I heard that. I opened my eyes and I heard that. I think, why would God speak to me? I'm nothing. I don't know anything. Why would God use me? Then I closed my eyes. I was in prayer. Again I heard, I'm so clever. I can say that, you know, like a disobedient person. Jonah, only he knows God is speaking. Rather than going one way, he went the other way. But I'm more timid than Jonah. I know by then the second time God is speaking to me. If I take those words with me to home, I know I have to be obedient. So that with very intelligent brain, I opened my eyes. I left those words. God is speaking to that deacon, not to me. I thought like, oh, I left those words in the church. It is not with me anymore. But those words are haunting me. And after 3-4 days, God was clearly speaking to me. Before I formed into your mother wombs, I chose you. Then I said, God, why would you choose me? I don't know anything. I don't have any background. I don't know how to speak. It is not for me. Then I left. And after the years, you know, many of the, he keep on talking to me and, you know, talking to me. And I used to just deny God's word because I know my capability. That's what my knowledge was. That's it. I never think that it is not my ability. It is his ability I'm going through. Now I can say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not by my might I'm standing here. By his grace I'm standing here. But that time, that was my knowledge. That's it. And keep on talking. And in the year of 2018, in the last church, people, once they asked me to share the testimony, I said, no. I have lots of stage fear. On top of it, I don't know how to speak in the English. Then I said no. Again, after 10 days, they asked me to share the word. What? Why? Because by then, I'm sharing the word in my groups, in my mother tongue, you know, in the groups. How? For that also, I'm not ready. I said to God one thing. God, I can pray. Send me the people, I can pray. That's what I can do for you. Don't ask me more than that. I can do nothing. Then God opened the doors, you know, slowly, in a very miraculous way, he opened the doors through audios, for the different conferences I'm sharing the word. But this church asked me to share the word. Then I said, oh my God, I can't. I cannot even stand over there. I don't know, I'm so scared. On top of it, I don't know the language. It is shame to you, God, not me. If I stand and talk over that, it is shame to you. Then God is asking me and telling me one thing. See who is standing at your side, not the people who is standing before you. Even if you have thousands or millions of the people in front of you, don't look at them. Look at me, who is holding your hand. That's it. Since then, I stopped arguing with God. Whatever the opportunity comes, I pray to God and just I surrender. That's it. I'm not telling that I'm great. No, just I want to glorify God. How timid I was and how God changed my way of thinking. It took long time, but I'm here by His grace. Like that, so many of times we think when it comes to use in the service of God, we have to have our own ability. No, He's telling, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. That's what I believe. Now my slogan is, my motive verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. That verse motivates me every day, each and every second of my life. When the times, when I go down, I bring this verse. Yeah, no, I can do. I can do. Because my Savior, my Deliverer, He lives. I can live. So when the God gave us something, some opportunity in the form of life, every day we are living to glorify His name. The life, the time, the opportunity, everything is He is bringing into our midst, in front of us to glorify His name. When we use, it is a blessing to us, and many of the people come to know God. It is a blessing. No, we have to, whatever the things God blessed us, we have to invest in God and invest in people, which build the body of Christ. That's why we are here. To do that, we have to have lots of, not the ability. Today, the problem is not having the opportunity. But when the opportunity comes, we are not ready. We are not, available. We tell so many stories. Lord, I'm busy. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. But God is not, looking for our ability. When we are faithful in little things, He blesses with many of the things. Like Joseph. Joseph was very faithful as a slave. God blessed him as a prime minister. In the same way, Moses was very faithful as a shepherd. God blessed him as a great leader. David was very, very faithful as a shepherd boy. God blessed him as a king. In the same way, when we are very faithful in little things, God is going to use us mightily. The problem is with us. We misunderstand of our master. We misunderstand of ourselves. We misunderstand of the talent. The talent is nothing but opportunity God entrusted to us. See, God, as this master returned and settled the accounts with those servants, God is coming soon. We are accountable for every opportunity that has given to us. What we are going to do? When God comes, it is not like, we have so many, when I walk through the roads, I think if I walk alone, I think, keep on thinking about something. But suddenly if anyone sees me, smile at me, I forget about what I was thinking. I keep that smile at least for 10 feet. That makes, that brings some change into the other people's life. We are created in the likeness of God. Then God is love. We cannot, everybody cannot preach, cannot sing, cannot do this, cannot do that. But as as we are His representatives, as we are His ambassadors, we have that all the qualities and abilities what God has, right? We can love the people. We can smile at them like that. In so many ways, we can make use every opportunity. We can make use each and every kind of opportunity when how God is giving in the form of day. Every day is a new blessing, a new opportunity from God. Like that we have to take. So we need to remember that, we have been gifted by God and we are gift to His church. to his body. So we are bodybuilders. So let us build this church family. Let us explore what God has given to us. Let us, you know, recognize the grace and the gifts that God has given to each of us. Explore them. And let us build this church, build the body of Christ. And also, we have not only, no, when we have that unity, when we are building in a right way, then we can go to outside the church and we can bring the other people into our congregations, right? So God, you know, how God is leading me is, you know, when we have that great relationship, intimacy with God, then we will know who we are, what is the purpose of life, and how can be used in the service of God. May the God bless us with these words. Thank you so much.